So this very first question is, tell me a little bit about you and your background. Like, where did you grow up? Like, where do you live now? Yeah, let's start there.
So my name is Derek Gonzalez. I'm 24 and was born and raised here in Vancouver, specifically the Mount Pleasant area. I was raised here, like I said, and I've lived here ever since. So I've been really immersed in the community. And yeah, I mean, do you want me to go into like where I went to school and stuff, or
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
yeah, so growing up in the Mount Pleasant area, I went to school about a block away, just like yourself at St. Patrick's. And that's where I kind of made my living and took the chance at immersing myself in the community, whether it was through church, through sport, or even just connecting with people like myself, young Filipinos. Yeah.
Yeah, I like what you said about like taking a chance at immersing yourself in community. Do you feel like I mean, because context, like you grew up together, and
Yeah.
like being at St. Pat's is such a particular, I think, not just Vancouver experience, but also like Filipino experience, I
Yeah.
find, because it's exactly that. Like you're so immersed in just like what you imagine. Like it just feels like peak Filipino in some cases
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
there's no question about it, you know? So it's interesting how you phrase it where you're like, oh yeah, like I took a chance at immersing. Do you ever feel
Yeah.
like there wasn't a chance at that at any point because like there was no question about like being in community there?
I don't know. I feel like the reason I was able to be so involved was also just because my family was always so involved. So like I say I took a chance on it because I know growing up they were always like one day you'll be doing this and you could help out here, do this. And like I was around it so much that I felt like it was also almost just like an opportunity to just give back and just like provide like what was given to me when I was growing up and I guess looking for that sense of community.
Totally, totally. There's something really special about, especially like seeing generations
Exactly.
of families and like of the community itself. And like for being around this much time and then like for us as well to kind of like be born into community and like I think we get gifted almost with this sense of like just like the sense of knowing. You know, and like, so I know exactly, like, that really resonates, like, what you say about like giving back and like kind of like it's almost like reciprocal, you know, it's like they gave to me, so in turn, I get to give back, you know, that's amazing. Yeah, and you also mentioned, like, actually, wait, maybe I'll take a step back first and maybe ask a bit more about your family. I'm curious about, maybe what you know about your family's immigration story. Like why do they end up in Vancouver?
From what I know, it was my dad's sister that started here, and my dad's mom wanted to come and visit my dad's sister and kind of see what the Western world was like. So, my dad was the one that ended up bringing her over. And when he got here, he just really fell in love with it. Soon enough, he decided to move over here in, I think, 92. Yeah, 1992. And during that time, my dad's sister was pregnant with my cousin. So I guess my dad was just around, like helping out and just being around with his mom as well. So that was his story. And then my grandma started getting a little bit old. So she was kind of going back and forth between here and the Philippines a couple years. And because my dad would spend longer, like, he'd spend more time here in Canada. So my mom and my dad were already dating and stuff. And I guess she wanted to be with him. So he brought her over in 98, I believe, like shortly after they got married in 96. And yeah, I guess that's their immigration story. I think it just rooted from my grandma influencing my dad to come live here and kind of see a better life, if anything.
I think that's interesting too, where it's like it's not an uncommon story, I'll say. But like when I hear like there's already like some family member that's already there, so then you kind of just like slowly through the years kind of reunite in that sense in the Western world, as you put it. Yeah, and that's interesting that it was like your Lola that was it convincing, or was it just like they kind of like saw it for themselves to some degree?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think my dad already kind of had an idea of wanting to move. And I guess my grandma, my Lola being here, she kind of just put the cherry on top and convinced my dad to come over and stay.
Great. And so you said that your parents were already dating by the time that your dad was starting to immigrate. And then I'm assuming that like your dad had sponsored your mom to come through. And then that was, they were already married at that time, you said. Awesome. Yeah. Sound pretty much like my parents. Like they got married around 92, actually, and then they moved in 1997.
Such a classic Bo Peto
Such
love
a
story, man.
classic, like through the 90s, you know, 90s
Yeah.
ending up in Vancouver type of pipeline. Yeah, and were they always living in Mount Pleasant?
No. So when my dad got here, he was living. He moved around a bit, so he was on like 70th and like Oak area when he first, like, one of his first apartments were there. And then I think when my mom got here, they moved to my dad's sister's house, my tita's house, which was on Main and 28th. And then they ended up finding a spot here in Mount Pleasant. And funny enough, I've moved four times within the same block.
That's weird.
No, like I lived in like Joanne Caranto's building for a bit.
Oh yeah.
And then I moved across that, and then now I'm here at this one. So yeah,
Oh my gosh.
it was super weird.
That's so funny. My Lolo and Lola used to live in the apartment block right next to Joanne's. So I used to like
Right.
pass by
Oh
her patio all the
no.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my
That's
God.
funny.
Yeah, a whole bunch of just like young Filipino families, I think,
I know.
just like around those specific parts of Mount
Yeah.
Pleasant, I'd say. I mean, coincidentally near the hospital, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think I get it, and it's like obviously, you know, like Mount Pleasant, like it's just super central. Like my parents don't drive, so it's super easy for them to get anywhere 'cause like literally like all the bus routes pass through Mount Pleasant.
Oh, that's an interesting observation. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, I never found the need necessarily to drive, partly because my parents were fine, but also because it's just like it's so like the three is so easy to get to.
Yeah, you
The
got a
sky
three. You
train's so easy to get to.
got the 99.
Yeah,
The
even just the
19's not too
99,
far.
if you get lazy to walk to Cambie to get to the
Yeah.
other line, it's like it's so accessible.
Exactly.
Totally. Yeah. That's that part about like moving four times in the same block. I moved in the same apartment complex, and that's the only time I remember moving, like in my life. But yeah, like all to say that like when kind of if you grow up in Mount Pleasant, it almost seems like you kind of just stay in place
Yeah, I
even though
know.
you're
I don't know. Something
moving.
about it.
I'm curious. This question just popped up into my head because I'm curious about maybe what both of our responses will be. I don't have really a huge answer on this yet, but like, what is the experience like to get to school? You know, like, because you're just walking, you're so
Yeah.
close, and just like that convenience. Maybe the question's more so like, how does your sense of home or your sense of place feel when you live so close to community? Like when you live so close to not just the church, but also like because you went to school from K to 12 at St. Pat's, like what does that proximity feel like for you?
You know what? Like, I actually always thought of it as growing up. I don't mean to make it sound like super like deep or depends on like how you take it, but like I really enjoyed walking to school. I know typically you're either busing to school or you're getting a ride from your parents. And I really like the fact that I was just able to kind of be on my own time, and it was really up to me when I'd go to school or how long it was going to take. Like, that was all up to me. I had that independence, and I really valued it because like some mornings or even just going home after school, like that was almost my alone time, I'd say. Like, especially like being in an apartment where it gets super hectic at home sometimes, or if you're taking the bus, it's like you might miss it, or you got to depend on the driver, or it's like there's a crazy person on the bus. But it's like when I get to walk to school, like super weird too. I'd actually never listen to music on the way to school because straight up, I'd just be like in my head and just like really enjoying like my peace, like walking to school by myself. So that's what living close to school was for me.
That's definitely a huge perk, I think. And there's a difference too, I find, in maybe our responses, because for me to live directly across the street is almost a different story. It's almost like I don't want to say too close, but it was kind of like because I share a street with the thing, it almost felt like it was just the extension of my house. So not quite what you get, what you were talking about in like alone time and like getting that space. It was kind of just like because it was so close, I never quite escaped it, like from K
That
to
makes
seven at
sense.
least. So
I guess a block does make a difference then, because like I actually do get like a nice like 5, sometimes 8 to 10 minute walk going to school.
yeah.
Whereas like I feel like you're just like 20 seconds and you're at
Yeah,
the
like trudging across their deep with
door.
a roller bag. Like that was my life. Yeah, that's so real. That's nice. Like I'm glad you got peace of mind from that. I feel like I have a lot of questions about maybe what it's like, and maybe I'm coming from like a comparison point too, because like we do have our differences because I moved out and like didn't go to high school at St. Pat's. I'm always so fascinated to hear what the perception is like from the inside. Because like I get the sense that like it's so tight-knit because so many people are coming from the elementary school as well. But then there's also like such a tight-knit like Filipino, like distinctly Filipino aspect that I get from the high school especially. Like I would find that so many of like what makes St. Pat's special is like just the cultural markers and the way that people like really find greatness in like certain aspects, like what you're saying about connecting through sport and connecting through, I mean, the choir program is huge and like sometimes dance and Shamrock comes to mind as well, right? So like there's a huge thing about like the arts and sports that comes to mind. But yeah, I'm curious about any insights that you might have about like community connection through that.
Sorry, could you like rephrase that? Like, what about St. Pat's? Like, are you asking like what about St. Pat's made that connection feel so strong?
Yeah, I think we could phrase it like that. And then it's also just like any, like, what did that feel like specifically for you to experience it?
Yeah, because when I do think about that sense of community, and like you said, we were kind of able to channel our greatness in so many different ways in that high school. I personally felt it so much more in high school than I did in elementary, maybe because I did so much more in high school and it's obviously more recent. But I feel like at St. Pat's, at the high school, this is hard to answer. I mean, I just felt like because like at high school, like you're looking to specialize in things a little bit more than you are in elementary. I really just felt like things were taken seriously at the high school. If I talk about like myself personally, like I am super close with my friends that went to the elementary with me, but oh my gosh, like I don't really know how I'm phrasing this. Can you kind of help me like reroute where I'm going, and I guess like specify the question a little bit?
Okay, yeah. I guess we could narrow the focus a little bit to like Like, what do you think is Filipino about St. Pat's?
Okay. I think everything is Filipino but at St. Pat's, bro. I think one thing is that like the teachers like really support Filipino culture as well. Like I know when I was in high school, there was very few Filipino teachers, but even the ones that weren't Filipino, they really stood by us and really supported like our norms and our traditions and our views on things. And I think that really helped with it, just feeling super comfortable in school and just knowing that like whatever we chose to do, it wasn't we weren't being judged or like we were kind of able to add our own like twist on things or like we wouldn't have to feel bad about like obviously like you want a group with people that look like you and like live like you. So I think what St. Pat's did a good job of was whatever it was that you wanted to do, like whether it was because you're good at it or just because you wanted to be around people that look like you, like it really wasn't a problem. And we would find a way to make it work regardless. So yeah, I think if that is your question, if that answers your question.
No, it definitely does. It does make me curious as well, though. Like, are there any specific stories that come up about like what you mentioned of teachers supporting culture and teachers supporting traditions? Like, what does that look like?
I don't know. I always just remember like at lunch, like because I would never buy lunch. I would really just like bring lunch from home. So whatever my mom cooked, and whichever teacher was supervising, like they'd be asking me about it, like what it is, and then maybe like a couple of weeks later, I hear them like telling me like that they tried it and that they really enjoyed it, and just stuff like that. Like they're just super supportive of the culture, and yeah, I mean, I feel like it's so easy to kind of judge like especially like for my lunch like the smell of it or the looks of it, but like the teachers at St. Pat's, like as simple as it is, like I just really appreciated when they would kind of like share their curiosity on like on my food, just like little things like that.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful, especially when like you kind of step outside St. Pat's and like maybe you might hear other stories of like the exact opposite happening. It's so
Exactly.
nice to hear that
Yeah.
like it's not just an appreciation, there's like a real like initiative to kind of
Yes.
like want to get to know the culture and like see what that's about, because so many of the students, like that's our reality.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. That's really nice. Let's see. Other than St. Pat's, what might you say, like, where else might you locate Filipino community in the city?
Like, are we talking about like just Mount Pleasant or just like Greater Vancouver?
We can talk about Mount Pleasant, and then you can also branch out from there.
Okay. Well, I know we're talking about St. Patrick's, like the school a lot, but where you and I grew up, the parish, that's where I immediately think of like of locating Filipinos, especially knowing like our belief in Christ and just like how strongly Filipinos believe in the church. That's what I first think of when I think of where you could locate Filipinos. Based on my experience and what I like to do, obviously, if you go to some sort of gym with a basketball court, whether there's indoor or outdoor, like you're bound to see a lot of Filipinos there. Yeah, at the top of my head, that's where I think I see Filipinos the most. Church and basketball.
Sounds like a 90s hip hop movie. It's not love and basketball, it's church and basketball, and that's like peak St. Pat's.
Christ and ball, man. But
Yeah.
yeah, that's where I think I see them the most. Obviously, like last night I was at Pampanga's Cuisine, Filipino restaurant. There's a couple popular ones around the city now, so I see Filipinos there a lot. I don't know. I feel like being a Filipino, obviously you have an eye for Filipinos, so it might not even be that there's a lot of Filipinos around, like even though there are, like it might just be that I am looking for Filipinos when I'm going somewhere, you know?
Totally. So it's not like you have specific places. I mean, beyond the ones that you've named, and like especially around like our neighborhood, like there aren't specific places that you'd go to access it. You kind of just like see it wherever you go.
Yeah. Like for instance, like you go to Tim Hortons or churches, like it's a Filipino cashier, or the cooks are Filipino, and it's not like I wouldn't consider that spot like a super Filipino dense spot. Like it's just there's a Filipino there. I don't know.
No, that's actually really insightful because that's also the way that I see it. It's not like you can go to like a Chinatown, or it's not like you can go to a Punjabi market and be like expectant of like running into people that you know. It's kind of just like when you see them, you know them. Even if you don't know them like that, like you can like understand. Like that's what I understand the word like kababayan. Like especially when our parents say like, "Oh, kababayan," like, "Oh, you're from the Philippines, I'm from the Philippines," and that acknowledgement. Even being in a city, like being in a new city, I mean, every time I'm on the streetcar and then I recognize either the language or whether I recognize just like younger Filipinos around, I'm just like, "Oh yeah, I see you. I see
Oh,
you."
you're one of us.
Yeah, so it's just that mutual kind of like awareness of like we out here, you know?
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah, and that's super insightful too. Yeah, I think that's definitely a valid answer. Maybe a question here is, what do you enjoy about being Filipino Canadian in Greater Vancouver?
Am I allowed to answer like typically like can I because
No, totally.
it's so easy for me to say like just a sense of community, you know, like that sense of belonging. Like growing up, like especially the first 10 years of my life when I was an only child, I was kind of looking for that connection outside of the home, especially because at the time like I didn't have a sibling. So now like that I do have my younger brother, like it's easy for me to connect and just do whatever with him. But growing up, I really needed that. And I think that's what, like going off of what I said earlier, there's what pushed me to kind of involve myself with the community was looking for that sense of belonging and connection and community. And I feel like being Filipino, and being able to connect with the people at school, at church, it made it so much easier to do that and achieve that. And yeah, I think that's what I value the most in being Filipino is just like we've been talking about, like wherever I go, if I see a Filipino, like I immediately feel some sort of connection to them. And yeah, like I'm super extroverted guy, so I really depend on other people's energy and just connecting with other people. So it really helps that Filipino people are super friendly and super outgoing. And I know that, like I said, when I'm around Filipinos, I know that I'm going to feel some sort of connection or some sort of belonging with those people.
And to counter that real quick, are there any challenges that you think are associated with being Filipino Canadian? And maybe
Yeah.
like specifically in Vancouver too, but either slant, yeah.
I personally don't know if this is like, maybe I do know it's a Filipino thing, but when you're Filipino, word gets around fast. I don't mean to bash on our people, but I feel like one of the traditional ways of, I guess I don't want to call it traditional ways, but one thing Filipinos are known for is like we call it chismis, right? And I really try my best not to get involved with that stuff, but when you do get involved, like it can get really tough. And when you're Filipino, you know a lot of Filipinos, and when that word gets around, it might not come back to you in the best way. But yeah, that's definitely one of the challenges for me is sometimes stories or things get passed around, and then they kind of they lose their actual meaning or the truth behind it. I guess I'd say.
You know, it's just a thief at the corner of the church just talking to Smith, man.
Straight up.
Sometimes you just hear their voice echoing across the hall and you're like, what are you saying? Yeah, but that's definitely I would call that a Filipino thing. I think it's and such a trait, especially of like being immersed in community. I think like that goes hand in hand, right? Exactly what you're saying about like you get the belonging and connection, but because you're so belonged and because you're so connected, it's also like it gives people fodder. Like I'm just so hyper aware, I think, of like,
Agreed.
yeah, just not just of how they perceive me, like how people perceive me, but also how people understand my context. Like, oh, I'm my mom's daughter. Like, I'm my brother's sister, you know, like I'm my Lola's like grandkid, you know? So like people understand me in relation to other people. And then sometimes that just fuels the fire, especially when certain stories might come around. So there is definitely, I would say, like even just for me, there's almost like a mental component to like navigating it sometimes, because sometimes we're and then especially growing up too, like words
Yeah,
can just
no.
get to you.
Of course.
Definitely a Filipino thing, and definitely a challenge that I've seen as
Mean, we
well.
literally have a word for it, so.
Straight up, and like you literally have an identity, like an identity marker almost of like calling someone by the action. Like you can be chismosa, you can be chismoso because you do it, because you engage in it. Yeah. So it's a whole thing.
Oh, man.
Just hearing the echoes of the basement, the church basement. It's so distinct. Even like speaking back to maybe church or otherwise, and maybe it might bring back some stuff from earlier in our conversation, but are there any particular practices, customs, traditions that you associate with being Filipino Canadian?
Like being Catholic, is that one? Could you give me some examples? Like I know like being Catholic is one norm that I practice or one tradition that I practice.
Sure. I think there's a comment there that I've noticed so far about like people's traditions around food. Sometimes even people's traditions. I mean, I would say this is like a suggestion almost, but like, what are things around sport that you see are like distinctly Filipino behavior?
Around sport, like playing basketball, and like I know, like I don't know if this fits in, but I know like Filipinos, like when we play ball, like we're super like itty gritty, like I'm willing to fight you to play basketball type thing, that demeanor. In terms of like food, I don't know, like I eat with a spoon and fork. I can't eat with a spoon and fork. I pray before I eat, all that stuff.
Or even if there are particular things within being Catholic.
See, that's the thing, like with being like currently, like right now, like I'm not an avid churchgoer any like as of right now, so I don't like saying that I'm super Catholic right now. I know I believe in God and I pray and I still practice a lot of things within Catholicism, but in terms of like going to church, that's not me at the moment.
I also think, just to jump in there, like that's also valid. I think that's also very common, especially around our age. And like, even just to give my slice for being in the 9 a.m. choir for as long as I did, that was like half my life. And I'm only outside of it now because I'm outside of the city. So like, I think it gave me a vantage point, quite literally choir loft, but like, it gave me a vantage point on like, yeah, my peers aren't coming around anymore. There's only so many people, and usually it was kind of the people that lived the closest that were sticking around. I think that's also kind of insightful in its own way, where it's just like when you don't have to question it, like why would you? Why wouldn't you? Like there's no need to change something sometimes. But no, there's definitely, I think it's just part of growing up Filipino, but also growing up Catholic.
That's
There's
like one thing I've been debating with myself recently is like the reasons why I kind of fell out of it. One thing. Like one side of me is like, well, because COVID, like we figured out that online mass is available and blah blah blah. So I kind of built that habit of not going for what 1 to 2 years and then kind of never just went back. But then the other side of me is like, I don't even watch online mass. first of all. And it might really just be because growing up, I guess, well, obviously, like at some points, like I was willingly going to church because I wanted to and because that's what I felt was where I was at in my faith at the time. But then growing up, it kind of almost felt like it was forced. So I feel like that kind of like made me grow apart from the church almost. It wasn't that like I don't believe in the church anymore. It's just because like someone just pushing it on me the whole time makes me like kind of just want to release even more and just, I guess, not really distance myself, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying about like there's not quite a push, but then there is that sort of sense of like when you do it for a huge chunk of like your upbringing, especially,
Yeah.
there maybe is a point in time where you're kind of just like, why? Why do we do
Yeah.
these things? And also like, yeah, there's a sense of like obligation, I think, that comes to like, do we have to? A lot of that is also very similar, I think, to my experiences. So I'm with you there. And yeah, a lot of the same questions. I'm in that right now. I'm in that. And like relocating is an interesting observation. I mean, even just to share, because this makes me think so fondly of St. Pat's, like I went to Filipino Mass out here. Like I've been a couple of times. And like Filipino Mass, as in like, actually, I don't know if you know this, but like St. Mary's, because I went for Christmas, I understand that they do like mass in Tagalog.
Yellow, yeah.
And it's not even like a Filipino priest, which is the most shocking part. It's just this
Oh,
guy that knows how to speak Tagalog and does the whole mass in it. So like the whole church on Christmas Day was full of Filipinos. It was Filipino choirs
wait,
singing
St.
Tagalog
Mary's here?
songs. St. Mary's in Vancouver.
What?
Yeah.
Dang,
And
I
I don't
actually
know if
never
they
knew that.
do it. I don't know if it's a frequent thing. I don't know if they just bring it up like the same way that they do Misa Di Gallo. But it was just so shocking on
Oh,
Christmas to be
that
like this like white guy is like speaking in Tagalog and he
is.
sounds fluent, like more than passable.
Yeah. I'd be so hyped at that mass, bro, to be honest.
Truly, truly, he said Merry Christmas in at least 10 different Philippine languages for his homily. And I'm
What I'm
like,
saying.
this is incredible.
That is nice.
And even just that quick shout out to like there are other Filipino churches in Vancouver. And yeah, even in Toronto, it's kind of the same. The thing that I did want to share was that I went to this Tagalog mass by myself, like in Advent. So in the days leading up to me coming home, and I cried.
Oh my God.
I was just like, what is this feeling that I'm feeling? I'm biased in some sense to like hearing Tagalog because I also study it. I'm immersed kind of in Filipino language with what I do right now. But it's also just like the sense of why do the parishioners feel like St. Pat's? Like, why does this feel like my family is here? Why does it sound like my family? Like, why does it just, like, even just extending my family, why does it sound like my choir? You know, like there was so much that was tied into just like what I was sensing, like what it felt like in my body, that I was just like, it's church. And maybe I'm having these debates about myself, but it still feels like home somehow. So I think a lot of what you're saying, even though these debates occur and like you might have a head battle with it, there's something about coming back to the space sometimes that's just like, oh no, I know. Like, there's no question about it. Like, regardless of where you're at in faith, there's something about being in the space and then like being literally immersed with the people that really rings true still, I find.
Dang. I feel like if I wasn't like if I went to if I was in your position, moving away from home and then doing the exact same thing you did going to Tagalog Mass, like I'd feel like I'd be bawling too. Just thinking about it.
Yeah, and then I had to literally make peace, and like I'm wearing a mask, I'm making peace, like tears, and the people next to me doesn't say anything but just looks concerned. I'm just like, oh God, what am I doing? Just like going through it. But yeah, I just feel like if I did that at St. Pat, someone would clown me.
I mean, it's just so, I mean, it's probably a whole different conversation for you to talk about, like, what it's been like being away from home, but I can't even imagine, bro.
Oh yeah, I'd be happy to share after. The first question in this last batch here is about home and homemaking. So the first one being, how do you define home and what emotions do you associate with home?
Home is where the heart is. I'm just kidding. Home. Well, when I think of home, I just think of family. I think of being comfortable. I think of, like, I don't just think of my literal home as home. Like, there are multiple places in the world where I can consider home. And those places that I consider home are the ones where I can kind of just be brainless almost. Like, I don't got to do any thinking, any worrying. I may not always be at peace when I'm there, but I know that it is a place where I can be at complete peace. Like, one example I have is like when I'm at the St. Pat's High School gym, I feel like I've lived there for a third of my life. And I've been there with different people. I've been there by myself a lot of the time, late nights, early mornings. And that's just like one of the examples of the places where I'm just super comfortable. Like, I literally feel like I could just escape my head sometimes and just, yeah, just be brainless. Like, especially like even here at home, like after a long day of work or a long day of school, really just get to unload everything that just went on through the day. I'm not too sure what emotions to describe with that aside from being like at peace. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to say home was like where I'm happiest. That's not necessarily true, but I do feel like when I'm at home or the places that I call home, I can be at peace.
No, totally. I get the sense of like two words, release and relief. Yeah, like I think that's how I would round up that experience that I'm hearing from you. There's a huge like exhale sort of, and just like knowing and like in honestly in cultivating relationships with place, I think there's a huge sense of just like, yeah, similar to brainless, but like not having again to question being
Or
there.
maybe because I feel safe too. So it's almost as if like I don't have to worry about anything, or I don't really have to. Yeah, like I don't really gotta use my brain like that or like be on alert. Because when I'm
Yeah.
home, like I'm safe and I'm at peace. So that's why I said brainless, because when I'm those two things, like I'm really like my head's really not racing anywhere.
Yes. Yeah, you can just like turn off your guard. Do you consider Greater Vancouver or Canada home? Why or why not?
Yes, I do. I consider Greater Vancouver, I consider Mount Pleasant as home. This is where I spent all my life. Like, this is where I grew up. This is where I've learned everything I know. This is where I've met my family, my closest friends. This is where I discovered my passions. This is where I went through my struggles. And yeah, I think that's why I consider it home, is because I've gone through everything here.
Maybe to add on to it, and this could be contrastive or, yeah, trying to just see if there's any relation. But is there anything about, well, one, like, have you visited the Philippines? And two, how do those experiences compare versus like being and living and knowing Vancouver as home?
Yeah, so I have visited the Philippines 3 times now. The first 2 times, like, I really can't recall at all because I was literally 1 and 3 years old. But the most recent one, I was 19, which was around 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I didn't even think of that earlier because even though like I'd been there prior to my last trip, like it felt like my first trip there. And as soon as I got, I immediately felt like I was at home there. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, even just landing and just like seeing like everyone Filipino. Like, I know I see it a lot here at St. Pat's and in the Mount Pleasant community, but when I landed there, it was just like, wow, like This is like a whole world of people like me. And what topped it off was just like meeting my family that I haven't seen in forever, or even just meeting for the first time. Yeah, I personally had a different experience with all in the Philippines because I was there for basketball and I was with a lot of my like half Filipino friends, and our coach had a lot of connections, so we were doing like some pretty luxurious things out there. I know that may not be the typical trip to the Philippines, but it was weird. It was like I was discovering like a whole new world of Filipinos, but it also felt so much like home because I see it so much here in Vancouver already. And yeah, wow, like I didn't even think of like, I know we've been talking about being Filipino and like the community here the whole time, but like I didn't even bother to think about the Philippines itself. And when I do think about it, like I was only there for 3 weeks, but like part of my heart is still there, kind of thing, because I just loved it there.
That's amazing. I think I had, not to keep drawing these similarities, but what you're talking about in terms of like not the traditional sense of like not actually visiting with family per se, but like visiting with your peers and like visiting for a reason other than just visiting family. Yeah, like one of the last times that I'd gone before the, like immediately before the pandemic was for school. Like I went for a music program of all things. It was my thing that I was doing at UBC. And like going as maybe one of the only Filipino people in the traveling party was
Oh,
so
wow.
interesting. It was so
Wow.
interesting to like not just contrast, but also be like cultural translator almost.
Like a tour guide almost.
Yeah, almost the tour guide of like, oh, I know this because I experienced this in Vancouver, so at least I get to like bridge that gap a little bit. And yeah, there's a lot of points to what you're saying about like, oh, I know this feeling already. So it's so fascinating to now get to tap into that in a completely different place where you've never been before. You're just like, oh, wait, no, but I'm still, there still is a comfort to it that you
It was
can.
like we already experienced almost like the full experience of being Filipino here in Vancouver, especially like where we are. But like when you go back to the Philippines, like not like even I could say like back home now, times 100. You think you're living like a Filipino in Vancouver, like when you're actually in the Philippines being a Filipino, it's like it's really hard to describe. Like I talk about that sense of community and that sense of belonging here, like that was like 10x in the Philippines, easily.
Yeah, it's just a lot more potent when it's at the source, you know? Yeah, that's amazing. I think those might be all of our questions. Is there anything that we haven't discussed yet that you'd like to cover? Is there anything that has come to mind, maybe that I haven't asked a question about yet, or even anything that you're curious about?
I think one thing I'm curious about is, are you allowed to share like a general sense of like what other people are saying about where they see Filipinos here in Vancouver?
Like where in the city? Sure. Yeah, and I can give you some of what I know as well. I've come to realize, and this is the way that I interpret it, there's a lot of small pockets of community in Vancouver. So, for instance, the way that we talk about Mount Pleasant, I know a lot of other people might say the same for Fraser and St. Andrews. A lot of people might say the same for St. Mary's and Joyce, especially Joyce being like a huge thing with what we were saying about Pampangas, but also just that whole block of kind of food businesses out there. And because it's like by Joyce Station, a lot of people all over Greater Vancouver kind of just come through for access to that part of community, right? So those are, I think, I would consider maybe the big three in Vancouver, in East Van. There's parts of Burnaby, there's parts of New West. I want to say like South Burnaby and like Edmonds is. There's people there. Surrey is a big one, even Richmond. Yeah, so, but I think the ones that we might be most privy to are like the Catholic churches. Like wherever there's like a Catholic kind of like Filipino presence in church, there's likely also bits of community that that tend to populate around those areas. Yeah,
Makes
we know it
sense.
most potent because Mount Pleasant is kind of has
No,
kind of
for
been
sure.
built like that for the past few decades. But yeah, there's similar energy. I'm not as familiar, but I've had people speak on like Surrey and Richmond and sometimes Burnaby and New
Right.
West areas around there generally. Yeah, so we're kind of all over. Little
Yeah, but no,
pockets
we
all
are.
over.
I was actually gonna say, I know we were talking about this earlier, is like I was talking about when I see a Filipino, I immediately feel like a connection to them. Especially being around basketball, which is like the sport in the Philippines. Like I was mentioning earlier, every time I'm going around and hooping, if I see a guy that even looks like half Filipino, one, I already feel like I'm connected to him somehow, and two, it's so much easier. Like I felt like in my experiences, it's been so much easier to befriend them, I guess. Like when I go to my old gym in Richmond, a lot of my friends that I've met, I just met from basketball. And I think it just goes to show, like when you're like, we're talking about like being a buy-in early and all that. I don't want to say it's easy to make friends as a Filipino, but it's easy to make friends as a Filipino. I don't feel like I need to hold back and like trying to be friends with someone. Like if I see someone and I, like I said, like if they look Filipino, like I'm just saying what's up. Like if they hoop, like we're hooping together, and yeah. Filipino people are also just super like people. If you see one, like it's not very hard to just kind of, I don't want to say like get them on your side, but you guys are on the same side already, almost.
Yeah, there's almost like a solidarity piece to it where it's just like,
Yeah.
I get you and your experiences, so
Yeah.
we're homies now. Yeah, the way that rings true to me is actually transitioning from St. Pat's to high school. Because I naturally just gravitated towards like
Yeah.
other people who are Filipino. I was just like, we're friends now, dude. Like, there's
Yeah.
no question about it. And like, we'd all kind of just like congregate together at lunch, you know what I mean? So,
Were there a lot of LFA or no?
There's a considerable amount. And then, like I was saying before too, about Filipino Catholic presence, like you kind of get a sense of that being an
Yeah.
LFA, I find, because like I might have been one of the very few from St. Pat's, but there's also St. Andrew's kids. There's St. Joseph the Workers kids from Richmond. There's St. Mary's kids, Francis de Sales in South Burnaby.
Oh yeah, and Burnaby, yeah.
Yeah. That was my first understanding, I think, of small pockets everywhere. And like you see all of them show up in choirs and stuff. So like you'll see us throughout there. And I think that's still kind of true for the kids out there today. Yeah, I think one last question, and this might be where we tail off, but I know that we never talked about journey, but I'm curious because of your the amount of involvement that you have tapped into the community, the communities that we speak of, like you're still I think you're still going strong, and like it's so awesome to like see your presence and like what you're saying about like giving back and the spirit of that. I'm curious if you have, again, any insights towards culture now that you're in these positions of more so like not just leadership, maybe like mentorship, because you work with like a younger like youth demographic as well, and because you tap into like culture through basketball and like there's a lot of community there. How would you say that like the Filipino community kind of shows up or intersects or connects with what you do with Journey?
Cool. Oh yeah, okay. I mean, like I said, Filipinos, most of their first love is basketball, and it really shows. And I think one cool thing about a journey is when they find out that the owners and majority of the coaching staff is Filipino. Well, we get families running in, and like I mentioned earlier, like one of the challenges being chismis, right? Sometimes that does have an advantage because, especially with Journey, like the word got around really fast, and that only gave us the opportunity to kind of cater to more families, and not just Filipinos. I think because, like I said earlier, Filipinos are such people that. They're able to, I don't want to say persuade, but they're really good at just like sharing the word. And I don't think Filipinos are big time gatekeepers, is what I'm trying to say. And like, because they're not gatekeepers, like they're willing to just share like all their experiences, especially because they want their kids to have a good time with Journey. It started with one of our first elite programs, we could call it. Most of them were St. Pat's kids. And we asked them to share it with, whoever they know, like family, friends, whoever. And from that one program, now we're at around 15 regular programs right now, like at once. And we've ran like maybe 20 to 25 camps that have sold it out. And I guess the way Filipinos are part of that is just because they love basketball so much, and they're just so willing to share like the good stuff with everybody. We've been super grateful to have just families that are able to help us kind of just share the message and understand, like, we're really just trying to do good for everybody. I don't know if I've told you, but like, I don't do Journey for money, even though it does pay me and it takes care of me. Like, I would be doing this stuff for free, but it's really like going back to that sense of community, that sense of belonging. I feel that every time I'm in the gym running a program. And Filipinos have a big part to do with that because, one, you see it in the kids, like super energetic. Most of the time, they're also like people, so really easy to talk to, but also like the families. I've met so many parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, Lolas, Lolos through our program, and it's connected us in so many ways other than basketball too. I'll regularly go out for dinner with families of Journey. I get invited to cookouts, to birthday parties, and I also think that just goes to show like what Filipinos are. One big family, that just we may not always be related by blood, but it certainly feels like you are when you're around us. Like if you come to a function, you know that everyone may not be family or tied by blood, but they definitely act like they are. I think that's my piece on that.
That's so sweet. That's such a beautiful note to end off on. And yeah, I just want to say how like proud every time I see it, every time I see the presence and every time like still being, I know I'm in Toronto right now, but like I talk as if I'm always in Mount Pleasant because it always feels like my heart is there. And every time I see that presence and every time I see like because we've known each other for so long and we know what it's like, oh my God, all the youth stories that we have, it taps back into that. And even though we have so many cringe kind of moments, like going through it ourselves, it's so beautiful to just witness like, ah, the cycle keeps going and it goes good. And it's so, yeah, honestly, not just encouraging, but just like I have so much belief, you know, in what you're doing. Y'all deserve every success that you get. And it's so good to see it flourish in all the ways that it has and it will continue to. And yeah. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, like we were talking about like cycles and generations of immersing yourself in the community. And I definitely feel like it's my turn right now where it's like the giving back part. Me and Nell, like my partner, we always talk about like aside from just like continuing like the cycle of giving back, like we're also trying to add that aspect of what we didn't really have growing up. Like I know earlier I mentioned being an only child. I always felt like I needed like an older sibling around. Like I feel like my brother's super lucky to have one. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to do with Journey is kind of just give that sense of belonging to whoever. Like we have a lot of kids that are like single childs at home and they come to our programs just to talk with their homies and kind of connect. And I think I'm in a super, super lucky position to just be able to give that to kids. So yeah, thank you.
That's on Kuya Derek mode.
That's straight up, bro. I am Kuya Derek now, bro.
Yeah, like that's just your title. But
Not even
it's
coach anymore,
beautiful.
like it's straight Kuya now.
And that speaks volume, you know? And like I know that you're saying like the goal is to do good for everybody, but like yeah, not to say that it's like an exclusive thing. It's not like you're just catering to Filipinos. It just happens to be that way because the community is kind of built that way.
No, I
Like
even
it's,
got like I even got
yeah.
like Indian kids calling me Kuya and stuff. Like it's so fun. Like I love what I do.
Yeah. And it shows and like exactly what you're talking about of like not just it's not just basketball, it's community. For that means that you're not coach or Kuya. Of course, that makes total sense. Of course. Again, thank you so much, Derek, for sharing in this space for all of your insights.
Thank you.